Welcome to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Paris from DogTipper.com, who is a travel expert, with great ideas and advice about getting out of the house with your dogs, whether it's around the block or around the world. We'll answer any question right here tonight, 888-627-6008, or you can send them by email to RadioPetLady@gmail.com. You can also send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. We'd like to thank our sponsors and let you know we've invited these companies to be here. Dog Travel Experts is a production of Eight Paws LLC and LT Media Group LLC, which are solely responsible for its content. Give us a call, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. And stay tuned right after the show for The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna Spector right after this show. Hello, Paris, and hello all of you in New York City at the Halo pop-up store. Congratulations on your debut, the premiere of this store, Paris. Don't you wish you could be there? Right next to the Roger Smith Hotel, Halo has got a whole month where they're going to have a pop-up store where people can make donations and contributions to the Halo Foundation and get really great swag from the Ellen Show, because Ellen DeGeneres owns part of the company. Wouldn't it be fun?
Doesn't that sound like a fun store? I was reading about it today and writing about it, and it just sounds so great, and all the adoption efforts are going to be making during the next few weeks. I think it's very exciting.
It really is, and we're very proud that the Radio Pet Lady Network is going to be there every night at 8 p.m. East. For those of you on the West Coast wondering, what's a Halo pop-up store? The Halo Purely for Pets company decided to just be wild and crazy, and for a month they've got – you know how there's a pop-up store for, like, Tiffany or somebody in the Hamptons? Well, they're having a pop-up store to highlight the need for pets to get adopted and also great nutrition. So we're really excited to be live broadcasting, simul broadcasting into the pop-up store. The number for any of you in the store and any of you out there in the so-called real world, you know what I mean by so-called, we live in the radio sphere, don't we, Paris? It's hard
That's
to
right.
relate to the real world. Our number is 888-627-6008. And we wanted to make although it seems kind of kooky, given that the Halo pop-up store is right in the middle of Manhattan, that's the corner of 47th and Lexington. Those of you that are listening tonight and going, oh, I wish I'd known, it'll be every single day and night for the next month. And Monday through Thursday, all of our shows are going to be live in the store, simulcast from our studios live in the store. So the number is 888-627-6008. And Paris, it may seem kind of nutty that in this urban setting that we've chosen camping with your dog and things to be aware of. And we have a special friend who's going to be calling in a little while who writes Pets Weekly, which is a really cool online publication. And she had an article about safe camping. You and I were talking right before we went live on the air about, well, okay, so if somebody isn't like the really, like me, not like the sincere camping type, I'm not going to go and buy all that heavy-duty equipment and go deep into the woods and the wilds. But, you know, you could even go camping in your backyard or go over to your in-law's house and go camping in their backyard. Like when we were kids, did you ever do that? Like, I'm going to go camping, and then you spend the night out in the yard.
I did. I did a lot of times. And, you know, there is such a trend now to have different types of camping. I mean, there's the camping we have always thought of as traditional camping, but then there's also what's now called glamping. And that's glamorous.
Oh, wait a minute. Spell that. Oh, glamping?
Glamping.
Oh, I love it. Tell me more.
That is a big trend now, and it's, you know, it's across the country. There are these glamping outings, and you can go to a place and really have more of a pampering outing, but still.
That sounds like for me. That's perfect for me. How do you go glamping instead of camping?
You know, you could research glamping, do a search, and that has become a very popular term now. So a lot of times what will happen, the outfitters have set up the tents for you, so you're not wrestling with your tents and all of that stuff. So, you know, you can have a more pampering experience. A lot of them will have a chef. you know, there at the resort. And it really turns into a camping resort instead of just a campground. But, you know, there's all types of different options that we can enjoy with our dogs, whether it is in your own backyard or whether you rent an RV and go camping with them, or you go out and do tent camping or glamping. You can really pick and choose the type of, you know, type of experience
that you're
going to
have. That's so cool. And of course, if the dog isn't there, what's the point? Our number is 888-627-6008. If you're listening in the Halo pop-up store, howdy. You're listening to the Radio Pet Lady Network. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner. Paris from DogTipper.com is my divine co-host, and we're here every Wednesday night talking about the various ways you can travel with your dogs. And we have a wonderful special friend of the show. She's the editor of PetsWeekly.com, which is something you should absolutely subscribe to. Once a week, great, interesting news about pets, and she wrote such a great article on safety and camping with your dog. Stacy, wonderful to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Tracy, and it's great to hear from you, Paris, as well. How are you?
Hi, Stacy. Welcome to the show.
Well, we're very excited about your topic. You've inspired us because, really, camping wasn't something we had at the front of our minds. Well, maybe Paris did, but I'm, like, not the camping type. I'm more. It turns out there's something that would be good for me, the glamping type. But the idea of going with the dog suddenly sounds really – it makes it seem more appealing. What is it that inspired you to write about it? Have you tried this yourself?
Oh, I am an avid camper. I love camping with dogs. And, of course, I've – since changed, but there was a time when I was spending a lot of time in the woods and the desert and national forest with my dogs and had wolf hybrids at the time. So also we had horses, so we went out almost every day. And it was such a great time. It's just, I think that people need to be aware of all the possible things that could go wrong so they can prepare for it. And,
well, I mean, I can
and that's
of
kind of our goal with the article.
I can think of what could go wrong. I wouldn't know how to put up the tent, but that's not really what you're focused on. You're more, and I'm like, ew, beans from a can, cold, no can opener. I have no idea how to make a fire. So I'm like,
oh, you need to go camping with us.
I do, sweetie. Or I need to go with Paris to someplace where there's a chef and a shower, and they put up the tent, and the dog probably gets like a bath at the end of every day. No, but let's not be too much of a priss. Even if I am, let's think of it from Stacy's point of view. I think it's inspiring. Okay, so what would be the like a baby step for camping? Like, what would be your vision, Stacy, of how somebody thinking, okay, I'm not sure if I can do this or I'll be good at it. What would be like a baby step first camping out, and it would make the person love it and then want to do more like you?
Well, I think the biggest thing is enjoying where you're at the moment and knowing that you're covered no matter what happens. So, for instance, we have a little solar shower that it's just for dogs, and we can just put it on our windshield and hose down the dogs really quick so there's no muddy paws in our tent or on our sleeping bags.
Wow.
And there's little things like that you can incorporate thanks to our wonderful technology these days and amazing pet product inventors that we can incorporate to make it a really easy, enjoyable experience for everybody, including
our animals. Let's just back up because I've never heard of the solar shower. Paris, have you?
Yes, I have. That's really a handy thing, especially in the desert. Your feet are getting dirty or sandy, or if you've gone to the beach, I think that is a great thing to take along for beach travel.
So what do? You bring this container, so to speak, of water, and then by putting it on the windshield, it warms it up so it doesn't chill the dogs?
Yeah, well, you know, it's great for people, too. If you have kids, I mean, everybody that has kids should have them as well, because you know how whenever you're on the beach, you want to rinse off before you get in the car so you're not catching fish and that smell. Well, this is called the canine shower, and it's designed specifically to hang on your window. So you just lower your window down a little bit on your car, hang it up, and it works on gravity. So it comes with a little shower nozzle, has a really long nozzle, so it'll reach, and you can just rinse off their paws, and you know, it's not designed for long showers, but it, you know, the water just kind of heats up from the sun. It's all solar based and
nice.
And it's just a kind of nice way of rinsing off and making sure your pets aren't tracking mud through the campsite or through the camp, I guess.
Or getting, even though we're talking about the water being warm, one of the topics in your really good article in Pets Weekly, let me remind you of that, petsweekly.com. And to those of you listening at the Halo pop-up store, our number is 888-627-6008. And if you're wondering why we're talking about camping and you're in the middle of Manhattan, that's the reason. You got to get out of the middle of Manhattan and enjoy life in a different way with your dogs. So that's the whole point of Dog Travel Experts, to inspire and then make it something that you know what all the moving pieces are and the safety. Would you say that the dehydration and the cool down issue can also help with that shower, Stacey? Because even if you didn't let the water get warm, the best way to cool a dog down is their belly and their paws, right? So that you could actually use it to
Absolutely.
Cool the dog down. Have you ever done that for us?
And that comes really in handy with the desert camping.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it can sneak up on you so fast in the summer. You know, I know here in Texas, you there in Arizona, Stacey, I know it. The heat can sneak up on you very, very quickly. So you want to make sure you're giving the dogs plenty of water to drink. But like you said, you can also put water on them to cool them, to physically cool their body temperature.
Their belly, their groin, their armpits, that's the anyone with horses, well, that would be you, Stace. You know that that's the one of the some of the areas that we cool a horse down who's really hot. So that's a really good
Absolutely.
Thing to do with the water. So what about do the dogs sleep in the tent with you? Or Paris, at one point, was talking to me about like these little, I hate the expression, I mean, it's too funny, pup tents. They have little tents for the doggies, right? Little pup tents for the pups.
You know what? Those are so amazing, especially for beach camping. And you can have shade for your dog all day long. And for yourself, if you want to crawl in there. The pup tents, I believe it's Solvit. Oh, they're wonderful.
Nice.
They're really easy to carry. They're lightweight. You just pop them up on the tent or on the beach or the campsite, and pups got their own tent, which is the way the good Lord had designed it, right?
Yeah, the good Lord did not want them in your tent because even if they're now washed off from their canine shower, they're now dripping wet from their canine shower. So thank you anyway. Go sleep in your own pup tent. I suppose, Paris, because Paris and I often talk about the security blanket issue of some dogs that are kind of wieners and not used to being away from home, or the humans are wieners and thinking, oh, my poor dog, he's going to be all disoriented in the woods or the forest or wherever they are. What about bringing the dog's own bed or some small bit of their bedding to put inside that pup tent?
You know, I know that's what we always do. And actually, we are some of those people that are always worried about the security. And we have the dogs always with us at night because it kind of depends where you are. If you're in an area with coyotes, with bears, you know, you don't want those dogs too far away from you. That's one reason you never, ever, ever want to stake out a dog overnight, you know, in a campground because, you know, they're going to lure in predators. So, you know,
absolutely.
That's a good reason to have that. You know, it's great for them to have their own little tent during the daytime while you're playing on the beach and everything. But at night when the predators come out and they're more likely to come close to camp, you know, because they're smelling your food, you've been cooking, as careful as you are, they can still smell it. So that we always bring the dogs in with us, you know, so that, you know, they're not out there attracting coyotes, wolves in some areas, not here. And bears in some areas.
Yipes. So, Stacey, is that one of your lists, like how to make sure your dog does not become bear bait?
We actually did not include that on there. Actually, we did include the bears on there. I mean, predators in general. And,
right.
and you know, the important thing is knowing basic camping etiquette, too. I mean, you need to hang your food up. You need to make sure your food is secured somehow, either in a tree or in your car. Or however you're camping, it needs to be out of reach because it will bring every predator in the world out to you. And
well,
you got to
really
remember,
understood.
You're on their territory. So
that's
being a good neighbor.
I've never understood why hanging in the tree is good. I mean, the bear can climb a tree. The wolf can stand at the bottom of the tree and howl. They can smell it just as well in the tree.
It's true, but they can't get to it. And if they, I don't know the logic behind that, actually. I guess
because
the theory is that it's not within reach, and that they're going to go to a more opportunist. So they're going to go to an easier area to to get.
So the easier thing to get would be the human sleeping quietly or the dog sleeping quietly that's on the ground. I say put the food on the ground. Let them take the food first. I'm only kidding. These are not good safety rules. But I'm like already like nervous.
Oh,
my God. Because in California, when I lived on a hilltop in Beverly Hills, very rustic, though. There's parts of those canyons that are super rustic. And I had a little golden retriever puppy, Roma. And these coyotes were so bold. They would come practically to the back door in daylight. Well, they were certainly near the back door, as if to knock on the door and say, "Hi, I saw a little golden retriever. Looked like a great snack." So we were terrified that these things were going to somehow eat little Roma. Not that she was ever out alone at night, but they were there in broad daylight. So we were told by some sort of coyote hunter, you know, save your pet kind of people, hang a chicken in the tree. And then just wait with a shotgun. I'm like, oh, my God, you are not talking to the right people. We're in the movie business. We have no idea how to do this. So we got a kosher chicken from Phil's Poultry at, I don't know what it was, a pound. Hung it in the tree, waited for a while with some shotgun that we'd somehow procured. And, you know, in the morning, all that was hanging was the string, no chicken, and we'd fallen asleep. So that's why hanging the food in a tree, this is a very long-winded anecdote, but it could be camping, right? Hanging this chicken in the tree seemed to me like it was supposed to be bait that you brought it in.
No, I think it's to get that food out of reach. So like Stacy was talking about, they're so opportunistic, they'll move on to another campsite. You know, it's like, okay, Oh, this is too much trouble. We'll just move on. But I know, you know, in our area, and I know in your area too, Stacy, the coyotes are a major problem. And John and I live in a nature preserve. We're surrounded by a nature preserve.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of undeveloped area. And the coyotes, you know, they still have a fear of man, but they will still come out in the daytime. We put a game camera out with no food or anything, just a game camera, to see if they were coming down one of our trails. And we were taking pictures of them at noon. So,
wow.
Yeah. So you just want to, you know, keep a close eye on especially little dogs, you know.
Yeah, little dogs or old
dogs.
Very
much so.
Stacy, one of your dogs has him in well. Is he okay now?
Yes, Bree is feeling a lot better this morning. She managed to keep a meal down, so I'm very happy about that.
Oh, thank God. I was
progress.
Just thinking,
we got to look for progress.
Yes, I know you've had a nerve-wracking day at the vet. We all hate having those, but I didn't know if she was an older girl because the coyotes also can pick up on whether an animal is old and slightly arthritic or slow or lame. I mean, they pick up all
Absolutely.
That body language, right? So Bree probably needs a bodyguard when she's out there. Unless she's
just
she
has
a bad
them
tummy.
With her brothers and sisters. We've got all told about 200 pounds of dog in our backyard. So,
So
the coyotes don't bother us that much. The mountain lions, on the other hand, they tend to come into our yard. So, you know, that's another thing you got to look out for is mountain lions, any type of predator, you know, porcupine is not a predator, but any type of animal like that, any wild animal.
Right. And we on the East Coast, we don't have the big scary ones like you have, but we definitely have skunk, porcupines, and they can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, you know, and things that you don't think of as predators. Like we have a lot of, they're called javelina, and it's essentially a wild pig. But they run wild out here, and they can take down a horse if they set their mind to it.
That's right.
So
that's right. Yeah, but
things like that.
Yeah, there was a big article about them recently. They were feral pigs or figs that were once like boar, and then they became wild, and they're all over the place. And yeah, that's kind of scary thought. Geez, I'm thinking of just staying home. No, I think camping with your dogs is great. We have to go to a break. We're talking to Stacy Mantle from PetsWeekly.com about safe camping. And if you have any questions, have you been camping? Do you want to go camping? Are you more like me, a total pussy? 888-62 in dog talk, that means scared. 627-6008. And one of our callers tonight is going to get a chance to go to the prize kennel and pick out a really cool prize from dogtipper.com. So we'd like to encourage you to call 888-627-6008. We'll be right back with the camping special. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility. So it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone Products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and feel-away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend feel-away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for feel-away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts, simultaneously broadcasting from our studios right into the Halo City Tales New York pop-up store at the Roger Smith Hotel, 47th and Lexington. If you are there, we're so glad you're listening. You may think, why are they talking about camping? I'm more concerned with a new leash that matches my shoes. That could be kind of like the more urban dog experience. But Stacy from Pets Weekly has written this great article on safe camping. And even though, like with me, it might make you nervous, we want to inspire you to think about having a night on the ground somewhere outside of your home. That's basically, that's camping, isn't it, technically?
That is. I think that qualifies. And whether you're in a luxury RV or a tent, it's still camping.
That's absolutely right. And inside the RV, you can always put that cam outside, some kind of a coyote cam and a mountain lion cam and a rattlesnake cam, and watch them all circle your RV. Yikes. What are some of the other really great safety ideas that you had, Stacy? You're leading us into the wild, which is such a good thing.
Well, you know, I mean, I want to really emphasize the leash law, because not a lot of people know about this, and it's really, really important right now, especially.
Okay.
Because not only does it protect other animals' wildlife and other animals, but it protects other campers' animals, other campers, and more importantly, it's the law. You have
okay.
to do it.
So
they require that your – I'm sorry?
Tell us exactly what it is, because Paris is a big believer. Her dogs are on a leash everywhere they go with her. She's a big believer, and I'm an off-leash gal, but that's only mostly on my own property. So tell us what the rules are.
Okay, the rule is you have to have your dog on a 6-foot lead at all times. So that makes hiking really difficult, and it makes a lot of things really difficult. But if something happens, you can be liable, depending on where you're located. But in Arizona, if your dog bites somebody or another animal, you could be cited with 6 months. And, I mean, the penalty is 6 months in prison. I mean, it could get up to that level.
Wow.
So you need to be really cautious, and they're starting to enforce it. Just because they've had so many instances of animals being killed by other animals that are camping.
Oh, my
so you might have
God.
A small dog that, you know. Because you got to realize your animals are going out with you. And just like we enjoy the great outdoors, our animals do. And just as we have our primal instincts activated, so do our animals.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog that you take out camping may be a totally different dog than is in your home. So
that's a really good point.
You need to kind of be aware of that. And you know, just err on the side of caution. That's really what this article is about, is just to show you, hey, there's a lot of things you need to worry about, but if you're prepared, you don't have to worry, you know?
Stacy, can you tell us what some of the bad situations have been with dog-on-dog killing? That's pretty shocking.
Well, it is, but it isn't. So many people go out there and, you know, there's alcohol involved, there's shooting involved.
See.
I mean, in Arizona, you can walk anywhere with a gun, you know? I mean, it's pretty much, you know, open season out there. So you don't want another camper to accidentally shoot your dog. You don't want to have somebody come up, you know, and mistake your animal for a wolf or a coyote,
right,
because it's legal to shoot them in Arizona. So, and I don't know what the laws are in every single state, but these things are a problem. If another camper brought their Yorkie out, and you have your, you know, your big German Shepherd or something, and
yes,
they even believe that there's any type of problem at all, you know, they can legally say, hey, I believe that my dog's life or my life was in danger, and there's a very good possibility that it was. We've had several instances of dog mauling up here. I talked to the Forest Service just last week, and they mentioned three where the dogs were killed while camping by another camper's dog. So
wow.
Whether that was something the dog straying into somebody else's yard, I didn't have all the details on that. But we also just had an instance where a ranger shot a camper's dog in the face. And fortunately he lived, but he's got major damage. I mean, it was a .40 caliber bullet at 5 feet.
Oh, my God. Why did they shoot him? They thought he was a wild animal?
Well, he was off leash. He had an electric collar on, and that's how they camp. They're avid campers, too. But they keep him in a controlled area. So they set a perimeter.
Right.
And the electric collar keeps him within that perimeter.
Yes.
The forest rangers were checking permits, so they came into the camp. The dog, of course, lunged because he didn't recognize who they were. He stopped about 5 feet in front of the ranger. Apparently, he was still barking. The ranger believed that he was in danger, and he shot him point-blank
range. Wow.
So that's the thing. If he had been on a leash, maybe it wouldn't have happened. Maybe it would have. But at the same time, you know, it's better to say, hey, my dog was controlled and on a leash. There's no reason for him to fear anything. So even the forest rangers are getting hopefully more educated on how to handle dogs. But, you know, you need to be proactive in protecting yourself and your pet.
That's really good advice. Paris, you've traveled a lot with your dogs. You've done a lot of beach travel with them recently to the Texas shore. Were there any issues about dogs that weren't on leashes and any of this kind of deadly aggression?
No, you know, we are very careful when we arrive at a location to kind of check it out and see, are there a lot of dogs off leash? You know, if there are a lot of dogs off leash, we're not going to take our dogs in a situation. But of course, sometimes you're not going to know. You're on a trail. You may come up against
right.
people that are off leash, you know. So we always keep our dogs on a fixed leash, never a retractable, so that they can't get too far ahead of us, which is not just a good idea in terms of dog-to-dog aggression, but also snake danger, because you can only see so far down the trail.
Absolutely.
You know, so you really want to keep them. Our dogs are trained to walk beside us. And, you know, it's for everybody's safety. It's for other people's safety. It's for the dog's safety. It's for the wildlife safety. I mean, this afternoon, just before the show, I was walking the dogs, and we're walking down our road. And like I said, we live in a nature preserve. Here come two wild turkeys across the road, run across the road in front of us, you know, and they're quite large.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dogs, they're very good. They don't try to bolt and things. But, you know, if they were off leash, they might try to, especially when the turkey started running down the road in the other direction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that, you know, you want to just get that temptation out of there so they know when they're on leash, they're going to behave a certain way. And I think that really helps. You know, they've got their expectations. It's like they know, okay, we're working now. We have our leashes on. This is how
right.
we do on the trail. So it
right.
really helps them. I think it helps everybody.
And, Stacey, do
you
your dogs
the
go
other... – Oh, I'm sorry.
Do your dogs go off leash anywhere, or are you only so careful when you're camping, or is this just a general rule of thumb you have when you take them – some? I don't mean on a
– My dogs are never off leash. They are always on leash. No matter where we are, that's just the way that I deal with it. Also, mine don't listen really well, and I know that about them, so that was largely my fault. But, you know, even the best trained dog, when you take them out into a new area, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to listen to you. So
that's
really important.
Yep. There's a lot of
stimulation. The other thing I do is I make them carry a pack. Because it makes them feel important. It shows more visibility for in the off chance that a hunter comes by, or you're walking
Smart.
Through the forest and your dog comes out first.
Smart.
You know, it makes them feel more important. So they're more on task. They're more aware of what's going on, and they feel like they're working. So I really encourage people to put a pack on them or a jacket.
And they could carry some of the stuff you need for them, like maybe their water or that pup tent.
Absolutely.
Of course,
yeah, and it's always a good idea to take an
problem.
Extra emergency kit, extra food.
Yeah. So, I obviously, this is a reason to have a medium to large-sized dog. because what's the point of having your Yorkie have a pack? He can carry like a Q-tip or his biscuit.
The recommended weight when you have a dog with a pack, you know, you start them at no more than, say, 10% of their weight. And then you work up to no more than one-third of their weight.
Good to know that.
Yeah, and even that, you know, you think about our weight. Gosh, if I were carrying that kind of weight, a third of my body weight, that's a lot of weight. It would be brutal, and especially
if
it's hot, you know. So when you think of it like that, it's like, well, gosh, this is just, you know, maybe 10 pounds, but that could be a lot of weight, you know.
But there are a lot of trainers that in trying to help sort of focus and calm down and sometimes wear out a big, strong, overly rambunctious or frisky dog, they'll give them a backpack even for around town because it really does help them to work harder at their walk in a good sense, like us, you know, carrying weights when we're walking or kind of working out. So I think it has a couple
really
of good things. It's really good.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, it's
not really easy.
That, you get three chicks chatting and this is what happens, right? I mean, they're like, what are we going to do? This is just what happens. This is what women do when they're together. Any of you that have eavesdropped next to three women in a coffee shop, you know what this is like. Nothing to apologize for. Those of you listening from the Halo City Tales store in New York City, great to know that the pop-up shop is open. Any of you that have a chance to go to 47th and Lexington Avenue, 11 to 9 p.m. every day, and you can hear Radio Pet Lady Network shows Monday through Thursday right in the shop and have a chance to give money to Halo's foundation, 100% of which goes to rescues and shelters. So that's a very nice thing. And then learn more about their delicious foods and treats and all the rest of it. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, Stacey is going to tell us more things to be nervous about when camping, but she really means to be safe about. I'm just trying not to be nervous. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxaCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxaCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxaCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts, simultaneously broadcast into the Halo City Tales New York City pop-up store on their opening night. I'm here with Paris and with Stacey Mantle, who's the editor of PetsWeekly.com, which we highly recommend. PetsWeekly.com is a great weekly online magazine full of really cool advice, information, photos, ideas of products, just all good stuff. Stacey, talk. What would be Paris? Which of Stacey's really good ideas did you like? Mostly.
You know, all of them are applicable to different types of camping situations. And I think, you know, it just depends on where you are, what time of year you're camping, what your camping facilities are. Are you in a tent? Are you in an RV? It's going to make a lot of difference, you know, and the time of year is going to make a huge, huge difference as well. You know, and are you in a national park? You know, if you have a lot of people around you, you're going to be somewhat safer than if you're, you know, halfway down South Padre Island and you've gotten to your campsite by four-wheel vehicle and there's no one else around for miles. So that's going to be kind of a different camping situation. So you really just kind of want to adjust those tips based on your camping situation and the time of year and your dogs. I think that makes a big difference as well.
It's a lot of different moving pieces. Stacy, do you think it's cheating to go camping in an RV?
Well, you know, I used to, but nowadays I'm more of the hotel type. I've gotten really spoiled in my old years, but I spent a lot of time sleeping on the ground. You know, I don't think it's cheating. I think as long as you can have a campfire and a barbecue and have your pets with you, then life is good. I mean, is there anything better than that?
No, that's really like the coolest thing ever. And the dogs get to beg at the table because there's sort of no table, really. So everyone gets to be around the campfire.
Good.
And that's a good thing. Once in a while, you just have to let your hair down, right?
That's right. You know, there's plenty of opportunity for everybody to forget a few of the rules while you're out and about, you know?
Exactly. Paris, what else is on that list or what would be on your list of camping tips, things to really think about beforehand or once you're out there?
Well, you know, I think for me, one of the big concerns, and this is a concern around our house as well, are the snake problem. You know, we've talked a lot about snakes on this show. And, you know, if you're not familiar with an area, if you've gone camping, you've gone cross country in a new area, you may not be familiar with the poisonous snakes in that area. So you may mistakenly assume when you see a perfectly harmless snake that it's poisonous, or you may see a small, what you think is a harmless snake, and it could be quite poisonous, like our coral snakes. They're quite small. They don't really look like any problem, but they're related to, similar to a cobra, you know, in their
Lovely.
Type of venom. So, you know, you kind of want to know who are the snakes in that area, you know. Really want to be acquainted with the, you know, any kind of hazards you're going to have. Snakes, are there any poisonous reptiles? I know, Stacy, you've got Gila monsters in that area, right?
We got all kinds of critters in our area. Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing with the snakes. I know that I think you're a big advocate of it. Snake training. And if you're going to do a lot of desert camping or camping in the Rocky Mountain area, you know, it's a really, really good idea to get your pet snake trained. It only
How do you do that? I want to know about snake training. Tell us.
Okay, well, snake training is a bit controversial because they have to use a shock collar. So a lot of people are turned off on it. The good news is you have a handler that's doing it. It's not you holding the dog. They basically train the dog to avoid any snake by sight, scent, or sound.
Wow.
And they train them in that way, and it takes about 15 minutes for a handler to do that, and they're literally trained for life. And I have heard stories where a dog alerted his owner to a snake that was underneath a chair that he was going to sit on, and the owner just didn't really pay any attention, but after he'd been trained, he alerted to it and probably saved that guy's life. You know, so it has benefits not only for your dog, but for you and for your family. And the best thing you can do is train your dog to avoid the snakes or to let you know there's a snake ahead of time. Because when they're laying across the trail, you don't notice them until they're coiled up and around you, which I've had that happen where they coiled around my horse's leg. You know, if I had my dog alert to that, I would have been able to just avoid that situation. So
what kind
and
what
that
happened
a snake
to your,
can,
I'm sorry. What happened to your horse?
Oh, we were just through a really heavy infested area, and it was just a really awkward, weird thing. But when she stepped down, the snakes were sunning themselves, and we didn't notice. And it curled up when it coiled. We scared it, and she was stepping over it when it coiled, and it coiled right around her leg. So luckily, she was fine. I mean, it wasn't bit. That's the other thing, you know, I mean, most snake bites are dry bites, and that means no poison was injected during the bite.
Really?
So don't go panic. They estimate 70% of snake bites are dry bites. So don't start cutting your leg open or sucking the poison out. You don't need to do that. Just get your dog to the vet, get yourself to the hospital, try to stay calm because the blood rushing and the adrenaline will pump it through faster, and you don't want that to happen. And just know the guidelines on how to treat it, because it may be nothing at all. Snakes don't want to waste their venom on something they can't eat. So,
oh, how interesting. Because it takes hard work to make venom, I guess. I'd never really thought of that. God, it's so hard to be any kind of creature, but even a snake has his burdens to bear. You know, one can think, well, wait a minute. One of these people is in Texas and the other's in Arizona. How can this relate to me? California, Southern California, that you think of as very built up, has rattlesnakes. I mean, people have them in their pool, in their backyard, not even a rattler in the pool, but other things got in my pool. And I was once just taking my horse for a hand walk with my dog, and I wish she, too, had known how to alert to a snake, because the horse put her head down to just take a bite of grass, and there, right where her head was going down, was a rattlesnake, like, coiling up. God, it was really scary. And another walk just right in the middle of Los Angeles, something called Treetops. It's a lot of sort of nature preserve-y, lots of paths, tons of people. And there were rattlesnakes sunning themselves right on the path. Dogs, you know, in my case, was off leash. Sorry, guys, but that's me. And it was really scary. Mm-hmm. So I think snakes are more of a prevalent issue than people realize. These snake trainers, do they actually have real live snakes that they do it with?
Yeah, they need to use live snakes for this. Yeah, and it's usually snakes that they pulled out of somebody's backyard. It's usually a rescue group, and they release them afterwards. So you got to make sure you're in with a really good group, a really well-respected group, because, I mean, you're using a shock collar, and especially with a dog that hasn't ever used one before, you need to make sure that trainer knows exactly when to push that button, exactly when to let the dog know what it's doing, and not pre-alert the dog to the snake. The dog needs to see it or smell it or hear it, and it has to be perfect timing. So you really need somebody that knows what they're doing, and it's the few times that I will ever advocate the use of a shock collar.
Because it's life threatening. Of course, exactly. If you could do the other thing that you said, have another kind of trainer. Of course, it wouldn't be so easy for your average dog trainer to have like a sack full of snakes. But to simply alert to it rather than going to it or going at it, lots of dogs can be taught to bark at something when they see it, smell it, or hear it.
And that's what I've taught our dogs. We had a dead water moccasin, and we taught them, put it on the trail, you know, and taught them to leave it, you know, which they're very good at the leave it command, and then taught them to alert to that snake. Now, what worries me is that the snakes, you know, we have different species of snakes, so the scent of those snakes, I assume, is going to be different. You know, they're all different snakes. So that's one worry, but, you know, the shape of it and things like that. So it was a little less organized training. We just did home training, home aversion training, just through voice commands. But anytime I find a snake, you know, especially if I found a dead snake or you have had to kill a snake that was right at the house, then we've done kind of our own aversion training with the snake.
And how did you teach them to alert to it? That's really smart. So leave it, I can understand the dog would begin to understand anything that looks like a snake, smells like a snake, or sounds like one, leave it. But how did you teach them to alert to it?
To teach them through, you know, just through regular positive reinforcement training, which we always try to do with the dogs, just to get them to stop. And then as they make contact with that snake, you know, they know a speak command. So we would teach them a speak command, you know, and get them to try to vocalize when they see the snake, you know, and then just through treat training. And of course I had a dead snake I was working with, so we had it fixed in place, you know, so that was a little bit easier. But, you know, and of course you never know, you never really know about that training. And I know even with the organized aversion training, you kind of need to get that reinforced every
That's
year,
right.
I think. Don't you Stacey? Do you have yours?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen it last for a few years, but again, it depends on the animal and it depends on how often they run across it. I mean, they may not see a snake for 10 years. At that point, have they forgotten the training? I don't know. That's right. So it's hard to say, but I've just heard so many great stories about dogs that have literally had their life saved and saved lives their family.
Well, it'd be nice in terms of camping and aversion if it was possible to teach that to dogs about porcupines, because on the East Coast, it's a really big problem. people's dog, the porcupines are on the edge of woods, you know, like fields are on the edge of woods, and these dogs get a face full of quills, and it's a serious vet visit, or a body full of them.
It's terrible. I was at the vet's office and saw that once. Yeah.
They don't learn, which isn't because they're stupid. There's some part of that event that doesn't really register. They don't learn about skunks either, and dogs hate to be skunked.
Yep.
I mean, as much as we
hate it. I don't know what it is.
It's funny. They don't somehow put two and two together where that's concerned. We're going to go off for another quick break. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts. We'd love to know any of your thoughts about camping dangers and thrills and chills, even if it's not snakes, even if it's just, oh, I really wish I could have a cold drink and all my water's warm. There's probably some solution to that, too, for you and for the dogs. Our number is 888-627-6008. We're going off for a quick break, and they'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. I don't know what kind of food you take with you, Stacy, when you camp, or you, Paris, but a raw dehydrated food like The Honest Kitchen weighs nothing, and you rehydrate it with water, and it can't go bad. And so that's really that kind of a food could be really good. Is that something that you use? Some product like that?
Yes, it's wonderful, and you can get some little samples and put it in little baggies. It's just perfect, so you can pre-measure it. It doesn't weigh anything. You just add water, and you're good to go. Dogs love it.
And that's a really important thing to think of, because you're certainly not going to take cans with you.
And especially if you're hiking, you know,
yes,
if you're backpacking and carrying that food, you don't want cans of food. So that is a big concern if you're on foot.
Or bulkiness of kibble. Whereas if the dog's got a pack, even a small dog can carry their own food if it's raw dehydrated. So that's pretty cool. Paw injuries, Paris, that's one that is on Stacy's list of things to think about when camping, which of course could be true of any kind of hiking or you know, walking not on a sidewalk. What are some of the things to think about paw injuries, Stacy?
Oh, there's a lot. You know, I mean, you got to remember that if the dogs are not avid hikers or campers, you know, they're running into a lot of things they wouldn't normally run into, and they're running a lot, probably, hopefully.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot more wear and tear on the paws. So it's always a good idea, especially when you're in a rocky area or a very cactusy area, get some boots and put them on. The dogs get used to them. Get them used to it ahead of time. And, you know, if you get some decent ones, it helps just protect that layer of their paws.
That's a really good idea. Rough wear makes some that my dogs will keep on when it's winter. And at one time I had a dog that had a slice on his foot, and it had to be covered. And that rough wear thing stayed on. He galloped through the snow. He galloped, and it stayed on. They're pretty well designed to stay on. And
Absolutely.
It didn't seem to bother him. And I guess, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, Paris, but a paw injury is really tough even if you're at home. So if you're not at home, there's not much you can do with a paw pad. I mean, you can kind of bandage it, but you can't put, you know, even the vet can't put stitches in it. I mean, if
That's
it's a
right.
cut to the paw, it bleeds a lot, like our feet bleed a lot if there's a lot of blood supply there and gravity. it's something you'd want to really prevent against rather than try to learn how to deal with it, don't you think?
It is, because, you know, all three of us, we all have large dogs, and we're not going to be carrying those dogs out. You know, if we've backpacked a long way in, we're not going to be able. We're just physically able to carry that dog out. So the dog needs to be able to get out on his own 4 feet there. So, you know, you really want to take extra care with those paws. And I'm always talking about in the summer, let's think about the heat. And as far as paw injuries, because even maybe out in the backwoods, you know, if you're on asphalt or concrete, that is so hot. It is brutal. They will have blisters on their feet, you know, so if you wouldn't go barefoot, then don't put your dog on that hot surface.
I mean, Stacy just said here, here, and me too. You know, their paws, are, either you put your, imagine you're barefoot, or people say, people that are trying to give advice say, put your palm down on what you're going to walk on. That's what it feels like to them. Even though their feet look so calloused, heat is heat. It's like walking on hot coals.
That's
and
right.
It's brutally painful. And it's people that jog with their dogs on the side of the road when it's 80, 90 degrees out, just fie on you. What are you thinking? Go do it with your fancy Nikes on if you want, but do not put your dog through that, right?
And not only are your dog's feet, you know, your dog's feet are getting burned, but their chest is also so close to that hot surface. So they're getting so much heat come off that road, you know. So they're going to really need more water than they, way more than they usually have, but more than you might anticipate they would have because they're in that heat a lot more than you are up at 5 feet, you know. They're a foot from the, from the, from the pavement. So you really have to consider that. And I'm always telling people too, if you're going swimming with your dog, remember that your dog's pads are going to be soft after they've been in the water. So just like our feet, when you've been swimming, you know, they're very soft. Even though their paws are calloused, they're not when they come out of that lake or river. So on the way back to the car, you know, say you're not even out in the boonies, but you're just going back in the parking lot, you know, even a small sticker or something can really cause a lot of pain and break off in your dog's paw. So you want to take those precautions with wet paws as well.
Really a good point. I don't know. Yeah, but camping, you know, you can definitely walk in a stream or walk in a bit of a, you know, the side of a lake and not realize that while it cools your dog off, which is really important, and cools the dog more than drinking, because a dog can't drink enough really to, you know, to ward off heat stroke. That's a really good point, Paris. Then their feet are like baby feet. They just,
they are.
And if you were then to walk on the boiling hot sand, even much less boiling hot asphalt, it would get conducted through the dampness.
It would. And, you know, you could really wind up with blisters that way. And you've, you know, you've opened up the chance for a cut a lot more than if they're toughened, you know, if they're dry feet, the wet ones are going to get injured a lot faster. So you just want to take those extra precautions so you have a good trip. You want, that's
exactly
the whole goal, to have
exactly. Stacy, the hour has flown by. Our time is up. We've loved having you here. PetsWeekly.com is something you all should be reading, enjoying. Just go to PetsWeekly.com and sign yourself up. You do such a great job with it on so many levels. I mean, it's just delightful to look at and to read. But something like this article is really lifesaver, as you point out. There's a lot of the things you've brought up that really are life-saving. So we thank you for that. We look forward to having you back on Dog Travel Experts with other travel-related topics. And we wish you a wonderful night.
Well, thanks for having me, you guys. It's great being here.
It was a real pleasure. Take care. Happy camping, as they say. Well, Paris, we didn't hear from any of our pals in the Halo pop-up store, but I think they're probably in complete and utter shock. It's like, oh, my God, yes, rattlesnakes curling up the leg of horses and bears and coyotes and mountain lions and then the different kinds of snakes. I guess that, you know, for city types, it's all a pretty big shock, although lots of people that live in New York go away on the weekends to the country, one place or another, and they do travel. So these are all things that everybody has to be aware of. Not so much in the middle of a city, though, right? Except for the heat. The heat's definitely an issue.
I mean, you know, if you're going through Central Park, you may be, you know, exposing your dog to a hot sidewalk. So, you know,
that's right.
Wherever you are, you want to take those precautions because, you know, you, like I said, you want your dog to have a good time no matter where you are and where you're traveling.
And they're not going to cry because the ground is hot or even jump around like a Mexican jumping bean from the heat of it. But they may feel like that and they may just be toughing it out because dogs can be really kind of stoic and put up with quite a lot of discomfort. So all these things when you're out of the house, I mean, that's, I think, the point of the show is dog travel is anything outside of your home or outside of your yard, right? And so there's just so many wonderful ways to enjoy your dog in those non-home settings, but also a lot of things to be aware of. I want to know more about glamping. Then there won't be any snakes, scorpions, any of it.
And you'll have that chef to take care of you and your dog.
Oh, that chef. Oh, my God. And my dogs love to ask for specific things to be cooked by the chef. Yes, sirree. It's like an African safari where the tent's set up and there's dinner ready. Paris, thank you so much, sweetie. I had such a good time. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you. Happy travels.
Bye for now. Happy travels, everybody.